Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg. I'm glad you're with us. John, you're kind of in a country kind of mind here today, aren't you?
A little bit, man. I don't know why.
Is that Arkansas coming out
I
of you?
I think so, man.
Yeah, you can take a man out of Arkansas, but you never mind.
Never mind.
Hey, you know, one of the things, the axioms that I have is that I think we ought to have more caregivers involved in the decision-making of our government. Because there's way too few of them, and yet we're always really busy doing so. Well, guess what? I've got a guest on the show today who is doing just that, and his story intrigued me. He's running for my district. I mean, he will be my state representative.
Well, that's just dirty pool. I mean, getting Peter's vote.
Well, I understand getting my vote. But this is Joseph Williams. He's a lawyer, and he is a father, two beautiful young children, beautiful wife, and he's a caregiver. And the thing that struck me is that, well, they have two children, and his wife has a disability. Well, I'm kind of, you know, I get
a bit partial.
Got two children, and my wife has a disability. So I thought, okay, I'm intrigued by this guy. So, and I looked at it. It was just an amazing story. The more I learned about it, the more I said, I got to have this guy on my show. I want to talk to him. I want to see what he's learned through this process and what he's bringing to the state house that other people can't. And I know this is local Tennessee politics here, but for those caregivers listening around the country, all the way to Alaska and Seattle and Jacksonville, Florida, all of you folks listening across the Truth Network and everything else that we've got going in Salem Radio Network, I just want you to meet this guy and listen to his story because I think he has some valuable things as a caregiver to impart. So, Joseph, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Peter. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you as well. I've been wrestling with my two young boys while watching the U.S. Open this afternoon, taking a day off from the campaign trail, and my wife's making a new cake in the kitchen. So it's a beautiful Sunday afternoon here in Nashville for me.
Well, now, how old are your children? You got little children.
Correct. So Jack is 3.5, and Henry just turned 1. And Henry just started walking around, so he's getting into everything.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, that's kind of weird. Just you'll turn around, and they'll be 30, I promise you. People used to tell that to me, and I didn't believe them. But I'm just like, now I look at these grown men in my life, and I'm thinking, where do my babies go?
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, you.
No, I understand completely.
You and I have a similar journey. We both fell in love with beautiful women who had a disability, and your wife. Tell us a little bit about her story.
Yes, sir. So I met her at Vanderbilt. It's like I like to say that she was way too cool for me in undergrad, and I couldn't convince her to date me then. And then she went and lived and served in South Africa for a year, serving at an orphanage there in rural South Africa. And then she came back and went to Vanderbilt Law School, and we fell in love when I was doing a program called Teach for America here in Nashville. So I was teaching U.S. history and civics, and it was at that point in time in which we began dating. We had known each other for 5 or 6 years at that point in time, but like I said, she was way too cool for me. But years later, I eventually wore her down, and, you know, we started dating, and we were engaged 6 months after that and married 6 months later after that. So, in fact, in 2 days, we're going to celebrate our 7th anniversary. So,
well, congratulations on that. You know, I used to tell people about Gracie. They asked how we met. I said, well, in a past life experience, she was Lady Godiva, and I was Mr. Ed. But you guys are both lawyers?
Correct. Yes, sir. In fact,
how does that work out, by the way? How does that work out?
You know, very logical, reasoned, intense arguments with Lindsay. But we balance each other out really, really well. And we actually love working together. We worked at the same public interest law firm together for a few years. And then we decided last summer, about exactly a year ago, to start our own law firm, which primarily serves nonprofits and public advocacy organizations. And so we do a lot of work together, and we absolutely love working together. It gives us the option to spend more time together as a family, to spend time with our kids. We love taking our kids to meetings and on work trips, to Washington, D.C., and all sorts of things. So we absolutely love working together. Her specialty is international human rights law. My specialty is First Amendment constitutional law and kind of government affairs, and we complement each other well. I do a little bit of international human rights to help her. She does a little bit of First Amendment law to help me. We kind of come as a pair, you know, as presented to clients, and we love working together. And then, of course, you know, as if having a newborn and starting our own law firm wasn't enough, we decided to launch a political campaign as well, running for Tennessee House District 56 here in the heart of Nashville. And you know, she is by far my best partner in that. We campaign together. We load the boys in the wagon. We go knocking on doors and meeting voters all around the district. And we have a blast. We love doing everything together as both a married couple and as a family with our two boys as well.
Well, now, and the thing that a lot of people just, when you list off these accomplishments and all these activities you could do, people are stunned to find out that your wife is in a wheelchair. She had a terrible wreck when she was involved in a car wreck when she was a little girl. My wife was involved in a car wreck at 17, but your wife was involved when she was like 8 years old, wasn't she?
Correct. That is exactly.
And yeah. Left her paralyzed?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And so you're dealing with, and my wife ended up losing both of her legs, but it's one of those things that we got these, and I get the feeling that our wives are very similar. My wife is a force of nature.
Yep, that is the same phrase I use to describe Palmer often.
So. Well, Gracie learned how to snow ski as a double amputee.
Wow,
and I started having to take some kind of medication watching her do it, because there is right. Nothing more terrifying than watching your wife on two metal legs going down slopes, you know. But she did it, and sounds like Palmer is the same way. Just nothing holds her back.
The story I love to tell people is that when she first signed up to go work at this orphanage in South Africa, and she signed up, you know, for months to go serve there. And it's in rural South Africa. It's in the middle of nowhere. You know, there are no paved roads. It's, you know.
Yeah, the ADA is not real big in South Africa.
Correct, right, especially in rural South Africa. And so, but she didn't even tell them she had a spinal cord injury. And so they show up at the airport to pick her up, and they're stunned. And they don't think it's going to work. And she said, you know, I'll be fine. The Lord will provide. And she loves telling stories about how she went. It's a big part of her testimony. She went, you know, expecting to serve the orphans, and she did, of course, because she's amazing. But, you know, the orphans, in many ways, God used them to serve her as well, pushing her up hills and sand and, you know, teaching her a lot about God.
I bet they loved doing it, too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Every kid always does.
Well, and Gracie's going to Africa with us in Ghana this summer to continue our work with our prosthetic limb ministry, and when she shows up, it's a huge moment for so many people. They just watch it. They get so excited because this is something different. Here's a beautiful, successful American woman who deals with severe disabilities, and we're living life large. And that sends such a message to people with disabilities in developing countries and so forth to say, wait a minute, these people aren't cursed. This is not a sign of God's displeasure of them. This is an opportunity for us. And the embracing of the cultures is wonderful. So I know that Palmer was such a hit over there. Well, tell me this.
Amen to that. That's right.
When you grew up, and part of your story is that you also had a special needs sister who had developmental disabilities. And so this is disabilities of all kinds have been a part of your life pretty much your whole life.
Yeah, as long as I can remember, you know, from the time I was three or four. My younger sister Mary was born when I was almost 3 years old. So it's all I've ever known. And it hasn't been until I've gotten older that I realized the extent of being the older brother of a younger sister in a family. You know, my younger sister has some developmental disabilities, some behavioral impulsive issues, and so those special needs and how our family operated, you know, was very different and distinct, which has fundamentally shaped who I am. You know, one of my favorite quotes I learned in an anthropology class at Vanderbilt was that the Amish have a saying that individuals with special needs are God's gift to us to teach us how to love better. And that resonated with me and gave words to a sentiment, a feeling I hadn't been able to communicate effectively because, and you know this, and this is a big part of your ministry and your testimony, is it's easy to think, oh, they're teaching, you know, my younger sister Mary was teaching me how to love better because, you know, I was loving her and her special needs. But that's almost not it at all. What the Amish meant, and what I have found to be true, is Mary, with her special needs, views the world in a fundamentally different way, with a childlike faith, loving people just because of who they are, not because of any accomplishments or anything on their resume or how much money they make, or it's all about how you make someone feel. And as I'm running for office, I talk about that often, you know, on the stump and when I'm meeting people at the doors, is that has fundamentally reshaped how I view the world and how I view people. I think in a better way, and I think in a way that we need more of that in politics today.
Well, now, as you take all these things, you've grown up in this environment, and now you've seen this strong, capable woman who's your wife, your partner, the mother of your children, and you see the drive that she has, and yet you still have to be, you're still inserted into this situation as a caregiver. There are certain things, I mean, you just can't help it when you're involved with someone in a relationship who has an impairment of any kind. That's what you do. As you go into the state house and pursue a public service in that arena, what are some of the things that you feel like have uniquely shaped you in that role now, to be in that role as a caregiver?
Right. A big reason I want to run is because I think that, you know, individuals like my sister, they, you know, there aren't any paid lobbyists for, you know, people like my sister and all of her friends with various intellectual special needs, right? And you realize that, you know, a lot of people view the world a certain way only from their background. And so they can't, you know, they're incapable until they are educated and informed and persuaded and asked to come along to see the world the way someone does who has special needs like my sister, right? Or various disabilities of all different kinds. And I think we need more elected leaders like that. We need more people in the halls of power crafting policy, making decisions to speak that truth.
Do you have
those halls of power?
Do you have a desire to serve on educational type committees and so forth with Tennessee's education system?
Oh, for sure. So yeah. I'm a product of Tennessee Public Schools. In between going to Vanderbilt and Vanderbilt Law School, I taught high school. I'm the chairman of the board of a charter school. You know, I witnessed my parents and my family navigating, you know, what was best for my sister at various stages of her life. Sometimes there was a public school system that worked, other times there wasn't. Sometimes there was a private school, independent school that worked, and other times there wasn't. And so there needs to be people, you know, I met one, I knocked on the door of a gentleman the other day who has a son with special needs, who was told by the public school system that they simply couldn't provide what he needed, and so he needed to go to a very expensive independent school. And so we need policies crafted to support, you know, students like him and their families. You know, that's a missing piece right now. We need people who are willing to go to into government, serve in public service, and fight hard for them.
Well, I think that special needs families will find your comments incredibly endearing because they feel so often that they are fighting this battle single-handedly and at an extreme disadvantage. And to have someone in there, in those halls of power, who truly understands the challenges of a special needs family is I think just a tremendous gift to Tennessee, and I applaud you for being willing to do this. I mean, you and your family did not have to do this. I mean, you have a life, you have a wonderful life that you have, and yet you feel this tug to do this in your heart. And I've been watching footage of you getting out there with your whole family, and Palmer's out there wheeling along. I mean, she must be a real sport.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. She's the best.
Tell her it's a little hot outside today to be wheeling around, so I hope that she's taking it easy, because when Gracie gets out of her wheelchair, I mean, then again, I'm the one pushing her sometimes, so I'm the one. So she's like, oh, it's nice out here today. Jeff Foxworthy and I did a bit on You Might Be a Caregiver If a while back, and one of them was, and I actually have footage of this. If you've ever hooked up your wife's wheelchair to your dog just to see if it would work. You ever done that, Joseph? I don't think you would probably do that, but I did it. Hey, listen, where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me. You can go to my website, www.williams4tn.com, and you can read more and sign up and help. And I'd appreciate everybody's support.
Well, I'm going to push this out, too, because I think it's so important for caregivers to do what you're doing, and I'm so grateful that you're doing it. And I want to see you come back here and talk about things you're doing for the state of Tennessee and for families across this country. And I'm very grateful for you, Joseph.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.